Congregation, please rise on this Christ the King Sunday. We sing as our entrance hymn, Rejoice for Christ is King, hymn 430.
Thank you.
You may be seated for the Confession of Forgiveness found on page 95 and following in the front of the hymnal, and make use of the kneelers if you so desire. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus the Christ, our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. O most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus the Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to rise for the invocation, the Kyrie, and the hymn of praise, found on page 138 and following in the front of the hymnal. Page 138. The grace of our Lord Jesus the Christ, the love of God, and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord,
have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Sunday, Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday of the church year, is hymn number 694. We sing verses in three only at this time. Hymn 694, verses 1 and 3, sing to the Lord of Harvest.
Thank you.
pray together in unison as a congregation the prayer of the day, and it's found on the first page of your worship bulletin or the first page of the readings and prayers bulletin insert. We pray this prayer of the day together in unison as a congregation. Let us pray. Almighty God, our true life, to serve you is freedom, to know you is unending joy. We worship you, we glorify you, we give thanks for your great glory. Abide with us, reign in us, and make this world into a joyous place for your divine majesty. Through your Son, Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading today comes from Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 through 6. The reading from the prophet Jeremiah and the common ancient The reading from the prophet Jeremiah uses the common ancient Eastern metaphor of the king as shepherd. Judah's unjust rulers have caused their people, their flock, to be scattered. God is the one who will raise up a new and righteous shepherd who will rule a restored Judah. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them. where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed. Nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The psalm today is Psalm 46. We will read this responsively. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. God's voice is heard. The earth melts away. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations God has brought on the earth. God makes wars cease to the end of the earth. God breaks the bow and shatters the spear. God burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading is from Colossians, chapter 1, verses 11 through 20. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from Christ's glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. God has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of God's beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to God's self all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel for today, Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday of Pentecost, is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by, watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, God's chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Judeans, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Judeans." Now one of the criminals who was hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "Amen, I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus who is the Christ. The text for today's sermon is from the Gospel of Luke, the 23rd chapter. Let us pray in preparation for the sermon at this time. Lord, now let the meditation of each heart and the words I'm about to speak be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength, our sustainer, and our redeemer. Amen. The question is simple. And if you want to tell me your answer at coffee hour, I'd be more than happy to hear it. If we had time, I'd make each one of you answer it individually right now, but we don't have all that time. Lucky you. The question is this: what is God's greatest power?
That's it. What is God's greatest power? The people in Sunday school humbled me because they got one of the right answers, better than I would have given. Years ago, I would have said God's greatest power is creation. Okay, not only creation thousands and millions of years ago, but creation even this morning when we woke up and the sun rose and the birds sang and everybody was really, really cold. But we're not in Buffalo, 6 feet of snow. Yeah, we're not in Buffalo. Didn't have to shovel this morning. What is God's greatest power? I would have said years ago, creation. Some people say the flood, Noah and Mrs. Noah and the whole family in the ark. Some people would say the parting of the Red Sea. Others would say miracles by Jesus and others. Or some, being political, would say the overthrowing of nations and governments in the world. The world defines greatest power through wealth, possessions, authority, beauty, influence, security, and safety. That's how the world defines power. My conundrum, this is an aside, okay? This is a little asterisk. If money, wealth, possessions bring power and security and safety, I have never understood why millionaires and billionaires would ever want to run for elected office. It makes no sense to me. I guess having grown up as a pastor's kid and having been a pastor myself, I know that being in the public eye can be full of scrutiny. 3 weeks ago, I preached about how people think that I'm the devil in this community. And I actually had someone come to my door and say, "What were you talking about?" And I sat down and spoke with them about it. Anyone who's in public office, whether it is a school teacher or a superintendent or a coach, I would never coach any team either in high school or junior high, ever. Because 10% of the people think you can do no wrong, you're wonderful. 10% of the people think you can do no right and you're evil, you're the devil, Pastor Beek. And 80% of the people say, "Who's the coach? Who's the pastor? Pastor Dismer, Pastor Hansen, Pastor Schroeker, what's his name? Oh, Beek, that's right." If money and wealth bring power and security and safety, I don't understand why millionaires and billionaires would ever want to run for elected office. And nowadays, even if it's the dog catcher that you're running for, it takes hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, to run. If you don't have it in your own bank account, you've got to raise it then, and that's what they do, okay? Enough of that. We're done. What is God's greatest power? It's not how the world defines it, of wealth, possessions, authority, beauty, influence, security, and safety. God's greatest power is found on the cross. And here on Christ the King Sunday, the reign of Christ, hallelujah, our scripture reading is about the cross. I, along with Martin Luther, believe in the theology of the cross and that God's greatest power is found on that Golgotha in Hebrew, or the skull translated, that place of death. God ultimately shows God's love through Jesus' sacrifice, not Jesus' miracles, not Jesus' teaching, not his preaching. They're all important and they're part of our canon. But the way that God shows God's love to each one of you, most of all, is his only begotten son hanging out to dry on your behalf. Jesus is betrayed, rejected, beaten, humiliated, and killed. And in the world's definition of power, none of those fit. None of them fit. But we find power in exactly that. Jesus' betrayal, rejection, beating, humiliation, and death. You crazy Christians, who do you think you are? All through Luke's gospel, you've heard me say this for the whole year, and I won't say it again, I promise you. I won't say it again for 3 more years. But all through Luke's gospel, who is Luke writing the gospel for? you know it better than I do, the widow, the orphan, the poor, the foreigner, and the outcast. You've heard that every week for 52 weeks in the past year, because that's who Luke is writing his gospel for, his sermon about who Jesus is and Jesus' life. He lays the foundation of it with Mary's song, the Magnificat, which we will celebrate in just a couple weeks as our psalmody. Christmas is coming, you know. Next week is first Sunday in Advent, first Sunday of the new year. Ho, ho, ho. Got a secret. I have all my presents wrapped already. I spent hours and hours because Ma Beek and Jody Beek are coming today from Oregon, the Holy Land, to Paradise, American Falls, for the whole week. The whole week of Thanksgiving. They'll either come today, my sister says, or they'll come tomorrow, or maybe Tuesday. They don't know how long it's going to take them to come all the way from Bend, Oregon. In order to save $150 worth of postage, and you know I love the post office, and they love me. I buy hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of stamps. So I'm going to save $150 in postage by having my sister take the sleigh full of presents back to Oregon. They're all wrapped. Everything's done. I'm finished. And it feels good. Because somebody asked me the other day, what are you doing for Thanksgiving and for Christmas? I said, well, my family's coming to visit at Thanksgiving, and Christmas, I'm working. As my friend in Buffalo would say, I'm working my tuchus off. Because Christmas is on a Sunday this year. And if you read the bulletin, we're going to have church. Because it's Sunday, because it's Christmas, and because Pastor Beek doesn't have to answer to a wife, children, or grandchildren. And he can be anywhere he wants to be, like at worship. In the Magnificat, Luke, by quoting Mary's song, sets the whole thing of what Luke is about. The widow, the orphan, the poor, the foreigner, and the outcast. Last Sunday you're going to hear that. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For the Lord has looked with favor on the lowliness of God's servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is God's name. The Lord's mercy is for those who fear God from generation to generation. The Lord has shown strength with God's arm. The Lord has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts against what power is in the world. The Lord has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. It doesn't get any plainer than that. The Lord has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. The Lord has helped God's servant Israel in remembrance of God's mercy and forgiveness. According to the promise the Lord made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. God's greatest power is found on the cross. Yes, you can see it in creation. Yes, you can see it and hear about it in the miracles and the parting of the Red Sea and all that kind of thing. But God's greatest power is found at the cross. God ultimately showed God's love through Jesus' sacrifice, the betrayal, the rejection, the beating, the humiliation, and the death. And that's what we celebrate today. It is only found in Luke's gospel, and that's why we have this reading for today. It's only found in Luke's gospel, these words. Jesus looked at them down from the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. How many times have you heard Pastor Beek in the past 14 and a half years preach that? I love that. As they are killing him with the worst form of death known to human history, he forgives them and shows God's love. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. One theologian says it this way, the Lord above all lords and the King above all kings, this man who was betrayed, rejected, beaten, humiliated, and driven to death, has more power than all those who sit in positions of power and authority and who have oppressed many women through the whole history of the world. The world thinks it understands power through wealth, possessions, authority, beauty, influence, security, and safety. But that's not what it's about at all. One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding Jesus and saying, are you not the Messiah? They say you are. Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked this criminal saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we're getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. I believe, like many theologians, the criminals hanging up there were committed the same crime that they accused Jesus of, and that was insurrection to the government. The Pharisee says, he's the Son of God, he's the King of Kings. That's blasphemy in our church. If he says he's the King of Kings, then he goes against Caesar, and that's blasphemy in the Greek government. Hang him out to dry. I think all three of them stole power. They're called thieves because they stole power from the government. The government thought they were in power, and we'll show people who think that they know better than us, Greeks. We'll hang them out to dry. We'll crucify them. So the second criminal is saying the right things. Jesus is not condemned for the right reasons. It was all a sham by the church. Pontius Pilate is the one who said, this man is innocent. I wash my hands of his blood. But the church said, crucify him, crucify him. He doesn't play by the rules. He doesn't play by power of earth. This man has done nothing wrong, the criminal said. Then he said to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, amen, I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise. The most important word there is not kingdom or paradise. It's remember. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. If you are the king of the Judeans, if you are the Messiah of God, remember me. He didn't ask to be saved. He didn't ask to be taken down from the cross. He didn't ask to be forgiven, even though he was just moments earlier when Jesus forgave everyone. This criminal simply asked for the greatest gift of all, remember me. Think of a loved one in your life, okay? Think of a loved one in your life and how you remember them. To remember a loved one in your life, and I'm thinking of my grandfather, is to be in relationship with them. I think that's what the criminal is asking here. Jesus, let me be in relationship with you when you come into your kingdom. Let me be in relationship with God when you finally reign. The criminal was a great theologian. I don't know if he was bar mitzvahed or not. That's a whole other question I have. Were these Hebrew men hanging up behind or on either side of Jesus, a Hebrew man, all stealing power from the state, saying, Caesar's not our God, Caesar's not our king. Yahweh, Elohim, Jehovah is our king and our God. The most important word there, because we could go on for 3 hours, and I don't have that time, I know, about what paradise is and what the kingdom of God is. That's a whole nother couple sermons unto themselves. But the most important word in the whole of the gospel is when the criminal says, Jesus, remember me. Because that means he wants to be in relationship with God and Jesus. Just like you remember your loved one, living or past. To remember them is to be in relationship with them. I was in relationship with my grandfather, all four of my grandparents, actually. I was lucky enough to even be a young adult. I was 20 when my first grandparent died. They were old people in their 90s, but they lived that long, thanks be to God. And I remember my grandfather because I was in relationship with him. More so than just, I remember his birthday, and I remember he fought World War I, and he fought World War II, and I remember some of the stories. No, he was my grandfather, and I loved him dearly. That's what the criminal is asking for. That's the power and the miracle the criminal is asking for. Remember me, Lord. Remember me. Doesn't ask for forgiveness, doesn't ask to be saved from the cross, doesn't ask to be taken down before he died. It's not Jesus' mother standing at the cross. We know she was there. Nor his beloved disciple John standing at the cross. We are told he was there. Nor the other women standing at the cross, because they wouldn't be arrested Women weren't worth arresting because they're second-class citizens 2,000 years ago. So the women, and then John was brave enough to be in the entourage, the posse, to go to the cross. We're all there. Jesus does not promise them that they will be with him in paradise. Jesus promises the criminal of all people. This lowly criminal insurrectionist stealing power from the state and the government is the one who receives the promise of new life. Lord, remember me. And Jesus says, I will and I do, and you'll be with me. That's the greatest power of God. The greatest power of God is that even in the midst of death, he can bring life. Even in the midst of death, there can be hope and a promise of relationship. My grandfather was the first of my grandparents to die, and the one I was closest to. And I still have hope, some 43 years later now, that I will see him again and be in relationship with him again, and we will be reunited again as grandfather and grandson. I remember him, and I bet he remembers me, because I'm hard to forget. What is God's greatest power? Creation, the flood, parting of the Red Sea, the miracles in the Old Testament and the New Testament, overthrowing nations and governments? None of the above. God's greatest power is the promise of new life, a relationship with a man, a criminal, who happened to just be at the cross also, go figure, hanging next to him. Christ the King Sunday. We celebrate Christ's power, Christ's reign, and God's power through Christ. But what is God's power? It's life in the midst of death. It's hope in the midst of hopelessness. And it's a promise of relationship. Not only being loved, but loving back. Amen.
Thank you.
invite you to rise with the confession of faith, the Apostles' Creed, found on page 105 in the front of the hymnal, and for the prayers of the church. We confess our faith in these same words, the Apostles' Creed, found on page 105. God has made us the people of God through our baptism into Christ, living together in trust and in hope. We confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Today in the prayers of the church, remembering our prayers in the church, our bishops Elizabeth Eden and Kristen Kemple, we pray this whole month of November for our mission partner ministry, the ELCA ministry, mission partner ministry, the ELCA mission and ministry support. Nationally and around the world, we continue to pray for the war in Ukraine and Russia and the nations surrounding that area of the world and those nations involved in it. We pray for all people who have lost property and life due to the natural disasters across our nation and the world. We certainly remember all firefighters, law enforcement officers, EMTs, and first responders to each of these crises. And then certainly we remember in our prayers people in the fields and on the roads during this harvest season, and we pray for their safety. We pray for all those who are sick, hospitalized, or in need and suffering in any way. And then due to death and burial, two Wednesdays ago, Bob Ray Blaker died, and then this last Wednesday was buried in Aberdeen. Bob Blaker is the brother of Stephen Blaker. And so we remember Bob and his family in our prayers. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for the church, for all of God's creation, and for all people who are in need. Almighty God, we pray for the church. Holy One, keep your church active in its mission and ministry. Give the church leaders who will boldly proclaim the truth and the good news. Fill them with wisdom and endurance for challenging times. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Creator God, we pray for the earth and all creation. We give you thanks for land and water, seed time and harvest. Bless all those working in the fields and on the roads this harvest season and keep them safe. Care for all places ravaged by natural disasters and grant them new life and new hope. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Sovereign God, Prince of Peace, we pray for the nations and the peoples of the world. Accompany all who make sacrifices for the sake of others. Inspire all rulers, leaders and governing authorities in our nation and around the world with your justice, your mercy, your peace, and your truth. Take from us all hatred, fear, evil, violence, and war. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Merciful God, we pray for all those in need. Come to the aid of the poor, especially those suffering food and water shortages, or losses of homes due to natural disasters. Comfort your people filled with fear or anger, anxiety or shame. Bring healing to all who are sick in mind, body, or spirit, especially those whom we lift up before you in our own hearts, in our own minds at this time. Sustain doctors, nurses, and all medical personnel in their tireless work. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, we pray for this congregation. We give you thanks for St. John's Lutheran Church. God, do a new thing within us. Build up and strengthen the ministries and mission of this congregation, especially be with our Sunday school staff,
students, and parents as they prepare for the Christmas holy days. Fill us anew with your Holy Spirit, your hope, your love, and your joy. God of grace, Lord of compassion, we pray for all who are working through and suffering from the world's pandemics. Bless the efforts and the work of all healthcare professionals, scientists, and workers across our nation and the world. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Lord of life, we pray for all those who have died. We give you thanks for all who have died in the faith, especially Bob, and those who we now lay before you in our own hearts and in our own minds. Be with us in our grief and our sorrow. Be with us in our joy and our celebration of their lives. Turn our mourning into the joy of the resurrection and new life in you. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you know our prayers even before we pray them. We look to you in hope and trust, peace and joy, knowing that you'll do far more for us than we can ever ask or imagine. All these things, whatever else you see that we need, grant us, Father. For the sake of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated.
Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year is the 25th Sunday after Pentecost, the last Sunday of the church year, Christ the King Sunday. Especially welcome to all of those who are visiting here with us today in person and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday today to Jaden Allen, Vincent Harris, and Cy Briggs. Happy birthday this week to Hank Boomer, Ron Funk, Casey Weiss, Sarah Gallegos, Sammy Landvik, VJ Julio, Nadine Carter, and Thomas Lute. Happy anniversary today to Dustin and Honey Allen, and this week to Ridge and Jessica Grover. This week at St. John's, see the readings and prayers page with the week's events listed on the schedule. There are many events coming up in the weeks ahead. A special emergency council meeting will be held today, Sunday, November 20th, in the boardroom at 11:15 or 11:30. This is concerning property issues, especially the hot water heater and the furnaces. Are there any other announcements?
Yes.
I have one too.
Okay.
I'm gonna go first.
Ladies first.
Thanks. So we're doing a Christmas feast this year. So if anybody would like to donate a turkey, come see me. Thanks. Your turn.
It was decided at council that, yes, Christmas feast. Last year we had the Christmas feast and we did ham and funeral potatoes. And people said, that wasn't Christmas. We want turkey and gravy and mashed potatoes and dressing. And it wasn't just me. I didn't say a word. You know me. Yeah? So we're going to have a feast, but we need like 5 to 7 people who would volunteer at least their oven, if not a turkey, that we can feed the multitude. In 2019, we had 188 people at the Christmas feast. That was pre-pandemic, I know, but we're hoping for like 100 maybe this year. So we need 5 to 7 turkeys, and I'll only eat for one person instead of 3. The meeting will be at 11:15. I promise you can walk out of church if you have to, but 11:15, and then you can go grab a cup of coffee into that afterwards. We have a number of guests with us today in worship. I usually don't announce them, and I'm not going to. People are going, oh no, deer in headlights. But there's one person I do want to make mention of. Reverend Tammy Heimgartner from the great town of Afton, Wyoming, drove all the way. She got you beat, Marion Hednall, who comes from Idaho Falls. Tammy Heimgartner, the pastor in Afton, Wyoming, drove all the way over here to worship with you. So welcome her, and you'll see her at coffee hour, I'm sure, and the like. Now, go ahead. You can finish it up.
All right, I'll invite the communion assistants and alcoholics to come forward at this time as we prepare for Holy Communion. Our offertory hymn is 465, As the Grains of Wheat. We will sing it now as our offertory hymn and in the preparation of Holy Communion.
Give us this day our daily bread.
forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We remain standing and prepare for the Eucharist by singing the hymn, Lamb of God, found on page 146 in the front of the hymn. All is prepared. The body of Christ given to you. The body of Christ given to you. The body of Christ. The body of Christ is with you. May the Lord bless you and keep you this day and every day of your life, Lord. You keep our way. Amen. The body of Christ is with you. The body of Christ is with you. May the Lord bless you and keep you this day and every day of your life, Lord. Body of Christ given to you. Body of Christ given to you. Our Lord Jesus Christ loves you very much, Lord God, love always. Amen. The body of Christ given to you. Body of Christ given to you. The body of Christ given to you. The body of Christ. The body of Christ given to you. 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 The body of Christ. The body of Christ given to you. 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 The body of Christ given to you.
body of Christ in you. The body of Christ.
Please rise for the blessing, the post-communion canticle hymn number 208, and the prayer, the blessing first. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Hymn 855, Crown Him with Many Crowns.